Blog Talk Radio.
You have tuned into Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. I am so glad that you have joined me on today. Truly, we thank the Lord for his goodness, his mercy, and his grace. We do thank the Lord because God is great and he's greatly to be praised in the beauty of his holiness. And God is just such an awesome God. And we're excited about what God is going to do in and through our lives on today. And even on this session today, you're going to be greatly and tremendously blessed by the blessings of the Lord. Because the word of the Lord said, the blessings of the Lord maketh us rich and add no sorrow. And so God have a no sorrow blessing that is going to bless you on today. Today's our lesson. I'm so excited about our lesson, and I do apologize for just a few moments of technical difficulty that you may have experienced. But we are live, and we are excited about what God is going to do. I want you to recognize, children of God, I know that you are being fought on every hand, on every side, but I come to tell you a prophetic word, stand fast, hold fast as never before, and speak the word and trust God to the very end, to the very end, in spite of what you see, in spite of what you feel. And may not feel comfortable during this particular time. It may seem like so it may be chaotic right now. The Bible of the Lord says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And then after you've done all to stand, there's a decree and there's a mandate for you to stand. And so I encourage you to fasten your feet and to fasten your heart and to fasten your emotion and fasten your mind and your spirit and soul to stand fast on the word of the Lord, because guess what? The word of the Lord is yea and amen, and every word shall come to pass. It shall come forth. It shall be done just as God said that it will be done. So be not dismayed. Do not be overthrown. Hold fast as never before. God will do it. And he will fight every one of your battle. So on today, our lesson is going to be on Jesus, God's greatest gift to the world. And our lesson is going to be found over in John chapter 1, verses 10 through 15, and then John 3, 13 through 18. And we're going to look also at 1 Corinthians 9 and 15. Truly, God is such a gracious God and an awesome God. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus do love us. And this one thing we do know, that God loves me and loves you. And you can stand in the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the victory that he wrought on Calvary. That is our inheritance, children of God. And so on to today, as we focus our attention over into the word of the Lord on today. I just feel the presence of the Lord just to share a prophetic word. God will bind up your enemy and tie him to a post and close their mouth and fasten their feet that they cannot move their eyes and fight against you, child of God. So I come to tell you just to hold fast as never before. God will do it. God will fight the battle. He is a right now God. He that will come and will not tarry. And I just come to sit that word off into the atmosphere, into the universe, and declare and decree that it will have returned, went out of my mouth, and it shall not return void, because we are representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, and my words are his words, and his words are my words, because I yield my tongue over to the master of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ, that he may speak to his people. And I'm without a shadow of a doubt, you shall be blessed. God will do it. God will make a way. Oh, yes, he will. His word declared, 66 books of the Bible said that he's a God that will not fail. He's a God that know how to open a door. He's a God that know how to fashion the stars into the sky and the moon to stand into the socket to stand and the earth to take its place and to move on the axle and the water just to come up to a certain amount of the brink. And not know how to go back and not to exceed further than the command of the Lord. And so it is with the things that are going on in your life right now. God will make a way. God will open the door. God will be with one of your enemies. Don't you dare fret. Don't you dare flint in your eyes or in your thought. Hold fast. Yellow the bush. Set your face like a flint and look to your Lord. He will do it. Put the blinders on your eyes. Be like a horse with the blinders on your eyes. And look only unto Jesus. Jesus will make a way out of the Bible said that it is. Every word of the Lord is true. Yea and amen. And hold fast to it, child of God. And don't you dare fall and don't you dare back against what the adversary is trying to perpetrate against you. God is in control. Man, God is. Oh, Lord, God is in control, and he has dominion and all power in his hand. So you stand and rest in the fact that you know that God is and God will do what he said he would do. He will come through for you. He will make a way out of no way. He will be back enemy. He will do what the Bible said that. So even back until Pharaoh, I said that I am who I said I am. And I come to say, I am is going to fight for you. I am going to make a way out of no way. I am will do it on behalf. Fashion yourself, child of God. Hold your faith. In the word of the Lord and the power of God's might, not in your circumstance, not in your bank account, not with the boss, and not in your job, but in what God said it would do, not in your business, but in what God said that he would do on your behalf. Take the word of the Lord and speak it. The Bible said to speak those things that are not as though they are, and watch God perform. Form it as you line up for the will of the Lord and the purpose of our God. God will do it. Oh, yes, he will. Oh, yes, he will. I'll say it again. He will do it. He will come. He that will come and will not tarry. Let the Lord rise, that God arise, and your enemies be scattered. And God arise, and the enemy be scattered. Oh, God is moving on today in a prophetic realm on today. God is our God. God is our Savior. God is our Lord. God is our keeper. God is our way out of no way. He will make a way because we're covenant people. We are the new covenant keepers of the New Testament. He purchased with his own blood. He purchased it with his own death. So stand up, child of God, and stand, take faith and take courage. The Bible said, be of good courage. If you have courage, you need to knock it up another notch. Because the Bible said, be of good courage. Be strong and exceedingly strong. God is going to do it. I don't know who I'm speaking to today, but the prophetic realm is saying, don't you dare back up. You wipe your tears. You get up and you shake yourself and you say, you know God is, and you take a authority over every spirit that it shall not manifest itself while it's in your presence because God is in control. Every weapon that comes against you will fall to the ground. It shall not come to pass. It shall not be so because God reigns. We have a high priest that sits on the right hand of God making intercession on your behalf. So you take faith because Jesus already prayed that your faith will fail you not. And you will not fail. Only failure is the failure to believe. Come on, get up and fight again. Get up and speak the word. Get up and go back and get into your Bible again and watch God fight your battle. Watch God open the doors for your people. Oh, God, you are our manna. You are our keeper. You are our provider. And your providence is yea and amen. Your protection is yea and amen. Your destiny for us is yea and amen. Your purpose is yea and amen. We embrace it. We hold fast to it. We fasten our hearts to it. We say yes to the Lord our God. You are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. And we release your power. Oh, God. Oh, God. Yes, we can. Yes, we will. And we can and we shall do the work in the will of the Lord. Because our ways please you, Lord. Our enemy will be at peace with us. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name. We exalt you, oh, God, because you alone is worthy. You alone are able to do exceedingly abundantly, oh, God. Let your abundancy, oh, God, abound in the life of your people, dear God, and we'll praise your blessed name. Oh, yes, we will praise your blessed name. Oh, yes, we will praise your blessed name. Oh, yes, we will praise your blessed name. He's the righteous Savior, the Holy One of Israel. Come on, child of God, and put your hands together and shout hallelujah. And I speak to every interceder and each every intercessor on this day. It's time to stand. It's time to speak. It's time to pray as never before on behalf of the nation, on behalf of God's people as never before. Get back to your post and continue to pray and cry out, stand in the gap on behalf of the watchmen and watchwomen on the wall as never before. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. I call forth all of the intercessors. I call forth all of the warriors in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to stand in spirit unity and oneness as never before. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. You are worthy, oh, God, of the praise. You are worthy of the glory and the honor. Glory be unto God. We love you, Lord. We praise your name, Lord. We glorify your name, Lord. We touch and agree, oh, God, that, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. Father, you said if we seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and your righteousness, all these things shall be added upon to us, oh, God. And we seek you today, your kingdom today. Let it come today, Lord. Oh, let your will be done on as it is. As we lift your name, Jesus. God, you said, you, Lord, if you will be lifted up, you will draw all men to you. Draw, Lord, from the east, Lord. Draw from the west, Lord, north and south. And we command this earth to give up and the universe to give up the souls that belong unto God. Foundation of this earth, oh God. Oh God, that souls will be birthed forth, Lord. Dry up appetites. Dry up, oh God, Lord. Foul spirits that, Lord, come to cast your vine and take your people into Babylon. Oh God, dry it up, oh God, and release, oh God, in the earth to go forth in your will. Cleanse their lives, Lord. Wash them, Lord. Through and clean, oh God. And Father, we thank you, oh God. We thank you, Lord. We give you the glory and honor. We give you praise, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord. Come on and shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. The prophetic is moving forward, and the Spirit of the Lord is moving in a mighty and a special way. And we wait on the Spirit of the Lord. Have your way, oh God. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. God is going to fight every one of your battles. God is going to beat back the enemy and bind them in and bind them up. And Lord, prepare them a table in the presence of their enemy. And we thank you, dear God. Now, we thank God for that time in the spirit realm. And we thank you, dear God. Let us look as we draw our hearts to John chapter 1, 10 through 14. It was on Sunday, I hear the Spirit of the Lord just to share with us that he said that he was going to do an imputation while we were there at the church. And we can feel the imputation of the blessing that God has done, has bestowed us with a spiritual gift, gifting as never before, with a greater intensity and greater sharpness and accuracy, that God is blessing his people as never before. Whoever wants to move in this next realm and flow of God, you must consecrate yourself and prepare yourself to receive of God, to eat of the hand of the Lord. Yes, you will come up under great attack, but if you draw nigh unto God and move. God said he will be your shield. He said he will hide you in your pavilion. Yes, people may walk out and turn their back on you, but God will never leave you. He'll raise up friends. He'll raise up people to be come along your side. Set your face like a flint and do the work, O Lord, as never before, and God will do it. God will fight the battle. God will cut off the enemy. God will put you in the mulberry bush and let the enemy be intimidated and afraid because he hears the noise of a marching army. God will do that. That come into for their impending destruction. God will do it. God, oh my God, my Lord will. Yes, he will. As we turn our hearts to the scripture on today, it says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. But he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as you, and many as received him, such as yourself, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, while which was born, not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Then let's look at John 3, verses 9, 13 through 18. And no man had ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth is condemned already, because he have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, let us look at 2 Corinthians 9 and 15. States, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Through the incarnation, God took on flesh. That flesh lived and died so that we may have eternal life. We must continue to fulfill his mission here on earth. We must do that. Every relation, everything relating to God is expressively wonderful. Everything he does is indescribably awesome. As David declared in Psalm 19, God's majesty be witnessed in heaven. As we spend our time only glazing into heaven, however, we should look all around us, for his glory also is evident throughout the earth. The hummingbird was a unique creation, and by itself he fashioned the wilderness grows. Jeremiah 51 and 16 say, he maketh lightning with the rain and bringeth forth the wind out of his treasures. The psalmist said, we should sing with thanksgiving before the Almighty. He has prepared rain for the earth, made grass to grow on the mountain, and giveth food to beasts and the young raven. Psalms 47, 7 through 9. Evidence of God's provision for living creature is everywhere, but above all else, he made provision for one created his own image and after his likeness. how astonishingly the Lord has bonded himself to mankind. The writer of Hebrew 2 told that the Son of David, what is man, what is our mindful of him, and the Son of Man that thou visitest him, Psalm 8 and 4. This love for humanity has expressed itself. It has reached out to the helpless and to the hurting. It will cross all social and racial barriers and would not be contained by the religious prejudice. This matchless love was destined to offer tremendous wealth to every impoverished soul. It was to be poured out profusely and given unreservedly. The value that God placed on mankind must be judged by the priceless gift he has given to them. In sudden outburst of praise, Paul the Apostle explained, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." 2 Corinthians 9:15. The Greek word that the King James Version translates as unspeakable has also been translated as undescribable or too wonderful for words. Such giving is humanly incomprehensible and unimaginable. Paul had been commending the Corinthians for their generosity in meeting the needs of others. But for the apostles, nothing could compare with what God has given through his Son. Now, let's look at one of our points on today. The givers give great love. The givers great love. Now, we're talking about God, who is the giver, who gave his Son, Jesus Christ. And now we look at the givers great love. What could a holy God share with sinful humanity? Ultimately, with those who obey the gospel, the Lord will share heaven itself. Eventually, for the redeemed people of God, there will be a great inheritance in his kingdom, Romans 8, verses 17. But before there could be a joyful experience of fellowship between God and his people, there first would have to be a painful process of reconciliation. Some things would have to be done to bridge the gap that exists between the two. God was determined to bridge the gap, to cross personalities and great divide between himself and his creation. Now let's look at John 1, verses 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, the Amplified Bible clearly states, the Word was with God, and the Word was God himself, John 1 and 1. There was the divine plan in fulfillment, see Isaiah 9 and 6. God robed himself in flesh and came to live among his own creation and gave himself as a ransom from all because there was nothing greater than he could. It proved to be the awesome gift of all. Now, just knowing that God himself robed himself in flesh and came and walked among us, that was the greatest gift. Now, let's look at the giver's long journey down. Let's look at that. Over in 2 Corinthians 5 and 19 states, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their transgression unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Many well-intentioned individuals suppose that Christ is distinctly different from God, but such a concept has no real basis in Scripture. Jesus told the Jews, "I and my Father are one," John 1 and 30, and he later informed Philip, "He has seen me, has seen the Father," John 14 and 9. The truth is that God, who is eternal, limitless, omnipresent, spirit, dwells within Jesus Christ in all his fullness, Colossians 1:19, 2 and 9. The Almighty came into this world, manifested in human flesh, to seek and to save that which was lost. It was a long journey downward for God's celestial home. There, at heavenly throne, the heavenly host worshiped the Almighty day and night. In that hollow place, there was no sin, no sickness, and no sorrow. In the halls of glory, there was all sounds of joy and sounds of gladness. But God came a long way to redeem us, the highest to the lowest. He moved from a realm where angels adored him to a place where men agonized against him. While he himself was without transgression, he moved freely among publicans and sinners. What greater contrast could the Lord have experienced than this descent from a marvelous light to a paling darkness? The scripture, 2 Corinthians 8:9, though he was rich, yet he, for your sake, became poor, that he through his poverty might be rich. Come on and just shout hallelujah. What a profound act of love of a God who owns everything, became poor, that he may be rich. Through his poverty, we might be rich. Read it over in 2 Corinthians 8:9. Now, let's look here. The gears big sacrifice. God could not overlook our sin. Rather, in his great love, he provided one great sacrifice to take away our sin. All the animal sacrifices of the Old Testament was insufficient, for it is not possible that the bull and the goat should take away sin. Hebrews 4. There had to be a supreme offering, a hollower way, holier way, for anyone to really be clean and acceptable before God, free from all the taints of their sinfulness. Hebrews 9:26 revealed that Jesus Christ appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. The cost of God's redemptive plan was a staggering price for the Almighty to pay. But God loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, John 3:16. Think of it. Nothing would be withheld by the Lord Almighty in his effort to redeem our soul. The great giver spared not his own son, but delivered them up for all of us. Romans 8:32. Jesus was delivered into the hands of sinful and vengeful men, hand over to the criminal for all of us. He had warned his disciples, the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the priest and unto the scribe, and they shall deliver him to the Gentiles. Matthew 20:18-19. Matthew 27:2 states that all the priests and elders led him away, deliver him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. After scorning Jesus, Pilate delivered him to be crucified. Matthew 27:26. Now, look at the receiver, new perception, positions. On the day of Pentecost, the birth of the church, about 120 followers of Christ received the Holy Ghost. But God's gift, once opened, was too sure to be confined to a few disciples in upper room. The promise of the Father was the great possession to be shared wherever anyone received the gospel of Jesus Christ. Number one, everlasting life. Is mankind undeserving of a gift of eternal life? Yes, we as sinners were spiritually bankrupt and had nothing to offer the Lord when he offered us his priceless gift. But through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have become wealthy. Ephesians 2:7 states that God in the ages to come all revealed the exceeding riches of his grace. Freely and abundantly, the Lord offered salvation to us. Though none of us are worthy, not one of us have anything of which to boast. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that's not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Ephesians 2 and 8. God brought us back when we were slaves on the open market of sin. What we rightfully deserve is eternal death, condemnation. However, what we can receive by the grace is everlasting life. We must choose between accepting the enumeration of harshness or unloving terms or the benevolence of loving Savior. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is life eternally through Jesus Christ our Lord, Romans 6 and 23. Although the Bible does not teach the mandate, mundane doctrine of eternal security, it does teach for faithful God's gift is eternally secure. No one should have a greater sense of hope and security than the person who is born again. As an overcoming believer who walks daily with his Lord, they can have a rock-solid assurance of salvation. As a child of God, they simply need to hold on to the blessing that God has given them. Now, number two, salvation. It is true that the Lord answered many types of prayer. It is also the fact that he heals bodies, often of people who are critically ill. He solves many financial problems of individuals and restores broken marriages. Moreover, he sometimes shields us from serious accidents and terrible conflict. All of these things are wonderful, but above all, Jesus Christ has come to save our souls. This was his consuming passion. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He reaches for the Jews and he called for the Gentiles. He offers salvation both to the rich and to the poor, to the educated and to the illiterate, to the young and to the old. Were we to own the diamonds, or the hope diamond, still we never pay for the salvation. How much we ever owe or have in our possession could never, ever pay for the salvation that God has provided. He paid a far greater price than one ever could measure in silver or in gold. We were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, 1 Peter 1 and 19. And yet, for all it is incredible work, salvation is full and free. And yet, in all of this incredible work, salvation is full and free. Come ye to the water. And he that have no money, come ye, buy and eat. Isaiah 55 and 1. Number three, revealed name. Jesus is the name by which God has chosen in his dispensation to reveal himself to all mankind. It is the actual name of the Heavenly Father. For Jesus said, he that come in my Father's name. John 5 and 3. The names and titles in the Old Testament are a significant expression of God's character, but none match the one that was given to the Christ child. An angel had carefully instructed Joseph, thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sin. Matthew 1 and 21. Like the stars that led the wise men from the east, this name leads individual to the way, the truth, and life. The name of Jesus reflects everything that is wonderful about him. That name, chosen by the Almighty himself, bears all our Savior's virtue, and it speaks of all our Savior's blessings. If we will repent of our sin and submit to water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, every one of our sins will be remitted through the name of Jesus. Acts 2:38. in verse number 22, in verse chapter 22 and verse 16. When we pray by faith in his name, as Jesus has commanded, he will answer our prayer. He will lift our burdens and mend our hearts. Because of the power in Jesus' name, the deaf will receive their hearing and the blind will receive their sight. Through his name, we will see cancer patients healed and even the dead raised to life again. Yes, there is remission. There is deliverance. And there is healing in the wonderful name of Jesus. His name, which is named Jehovah, is salvation. Or Jehovah the Savior is the one that the Almighty honored above all other names. And you can see that over in Philippians 2 and 9. Men may despise and even reveal what God has chosen. But Peter declares the unique and powerful statue of the name of Jesus. We'll find it over in Acts 4, verses 11 through 12. And it reads on this line. This is the stone which was set at naught of the builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Acts 4, chapter verse 11 through verse number 12. And so we praise God for the wonderful plan of salvation. Come on and just shout hallelujah. It is an incredible work, an incredible gift that God has given unto us as children of God. Now, let's look at the next point. Condemnation eliminated. Let's look over at John 3:18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The basis of divine judgment, according to John 3:19, is that light has come into the world, but mankind have rejected it. The rejection of Jesus Christ as their Messiah was the of the people who rejected him in Christ's day. See John 15:22-24. It remains the same for many people in our day. To reject light and truth is to accept darkness and error. To despise the gift is to despise the giver. See John 15, verses 23. The Apostle John used various forms of the Greek word, translated believe, 98 times in this gospel. Compare that with the total of 34 times the same Greek word is used in the other three gospel combined. The word does not suggest that mere intellectual assent. The verb means to have faith in, upon, or with respect to a person or a thing. I.e. credit by, implication to entrust, especially one's spiritual well-being to Christ. And we'll find that in the BibleSoft New Exhaustive Strong Numbers and Concordance with expanded Greek and Hebrew dictionary. You'll see that. And so that's where you'll find that definition. The writer of the New Testament were not simply promoting facts. They were presenting Christ. They were not just expounding a creed, they were making known a Savior. As they emphasized Jesus, the Son of God, they used the expression, believe on him and believe in him. Christ had a union Christian have a union with Christ through faith, so that Paul said we are actually Colossians 2:10. In Christ, of the special relationship that is ours through the new birth, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Though once we were bound by sin and shame by guilt, we who have received God's gift are now set free. Romans 8:1 says, therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to them in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, take another look at another point. A walk in truth and life. Believers, they have a glorious walk in truth and life through the indwelling presence of Jesus Christ. He is the truth, John 13 and 6. And he is the light, John 8 and 12. Our sufficiency must come in our relationship with him. The word walk, as used by Paul and John in their epistle, meant a person's conduct or their way of life. The Greek word phasio refers to every aspect of one's being. Even as Christ demonstrated by his life that he was a complete victor over sin, we are empowered through his Spirit to be more than conqueror, Romans 8 and 37. How simply and how effectively the Bible describes the manner of living for God. It's a matter of walking in light and truth as opposed to walking in darkness and error in Psalms 12 and 35. As we walk in Christ, Colossians 2 and 6, we walk in the Spirit. It is Christ's Spirit that dwells within our hearts. Keep walking. Keep living for God. Darkness will never extinguish the light of life. John 1 and 5 states, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. But recognize that it cannot comprehend. However, a better meaning will be eclipsed or overwhelmed. The fact is that darkness will never overpower light and will never put it out. You let your light shine out of God, because darkness will never, ever put out the light of Christ. Now, let's look at another point here. A gift unopened. And let's take a look at that, because I think it's so relevant and it's key. How could this gift, this Emmanuel, have gone unrecognized by his own people? Perhaps it was because of the common package in which the gift came, that they did not perceive his true identity. God manifested himself to Israel in human flesh. Isaiah had prophesied he has no form or comeliness, royal or kingly pomp, that we should look at him, no beauty that we should desire him. Isaiah 53 and 2 from the Amplified Version. Now, let's look here at the Creator, who was unnoticed during that time. When God revealed himself to the world through his incarnation, he became unknown and practically unnoticed. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. John 1 and 10. He was dreadfully far. How dreadfully far Israel had strayed from the knowledge of their Creator. The Lord had promised through Isaiah that he would come and save them, Isaiah 35 and 4. But the nation had forgotten. He had promised that the eyes of the blind would be opened and that the ears of the deaf would be unstopped, Isaiah 35 and 5. But they had doubted and done without. The Lord God had stated that the lame man would leap like a deer and that the tongue of the dumb would sing, Isaiah 35 and 6. But his people have failed to realize that the promise he was being fulfilled right before their eyes. Even a righteous man like John the Baptist had no doubts and questions. While he was in prison, John sent two of his disciples to ask Christ, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? So here, even John, who was John the Baptist, he even doubted. He was even a righteous man. He had his doubts and questions. Now let's look here. God in human flesh passed by the shopkeepers and the shepherds and the fishermen and the farmers, and they failed to recognize who he really was. The scribes and the Pharisees treated him as an imposter. Many of those in the throne who follow him did so for selfish reasons, for the loaves and the fishes. Unnoticed, God walked along the seas of Galilee, the seas that he had created, and taught tremendous truth to all who would listen. Unknown, he expounded the scriptures and the word that he inspired and gave brilliant explanation to those who would challenge his authority. What a profound thing. Now, but he went unnoticed during that time. Now let's look at another point. His kingship rejected. Most people long for the love and respect of their family. Most of us hope for the understanding and appreciation. This, of course, is what we desire, but is not what the Lord felt when he came to his people, Israel. Rather, what he experienced was rejection and disdain. He came unto his own, and his own received them not, John 1 and 11. Jehovah's love for Israel was profound. They were his chosen people. He was their long-suffering God. They were the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand, Psalm 95 and 7. He was the shepherd that led them like a flock, Psalm 80 and 1, Jeremiah 31 and 10. In the scripture, the Almighty committed himself wholeheartedly to the nation. You alone, God declared, and have I known all the families of the earth, Amos 3 and 2. If only Israel will keep his covenant, then they will be peculiar treasure to Jehovah above all people, Exodus 19 and 5. If only they will obey his word, then they will be to him a kingdom, a priest, and of a holy nation, Exodus 19 and 6. Jehovah's purpose was to be a kinsman redeemer to Israel. That is, the Almighty came to perform the powerful role of the next of kin under the law. The kinsman, the redeemer, might restore property to the relative who had fallen into death. The word gospel means a deliverer who deliver or buy back. Goel. It's actually the word means goel, G-O-E-L, means a deliverer who recover or buy back. He might act in judgment against the murderer of a family member as a case of voyage. He also could take a widow in marriage to raise up children to the deceased. If Israel had only known the day of their visitation, she would have not sold herself into slavery of sin and would have become the widow and separated from her God, Isaiah 47 and 8, Lamentation 1 and 1. At this moment, in this desperate time of need, the Lord could only simply stand far off from Israel. The Almighty came to redeem his people, though he knew him in his heart that they would scorn and reject him. Now, let's look at, and so that was the kinship that was rejected. Now, let's look here at the gift appreciated. No greater gift have ever been given to mankind than that which God offered on Golgotha. When Christ died on the cross, he made it possible for us to receive all the benefits of salvation. Now, let's take a look here. The receiver of the reward, John 1 and 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the Son of God, even to them that believe in his name. Here it is. While numbers of people rejected Jesus Christ, some gladly welcomed and accepted him. There was the woman at the well of Samaria who heard of the living water. There was Bartimaeus, the blind beggar near Jericho, who received his sight. And Capernaum, a centurion came to Jesus Christ in faith, and as a result, he saw his paralyzed servant healed. Wherever and whenever individual accept Jesus Christ for who he really is, something wonderful happens. How we should strive to receive Christ into our lives. He is the way back to God and the source of eternal life. His spirit within our hearts witnesses that we are the Son of God. As such, we can approach God as a small child of his loving Father, Galatians 4:6. We can go to our hotel expectantly, prudently. We can know that we are his and he is ours. We can be sure that he will be our constant companion, and we will be sensitive to our every need. He will be also sensitive to our every need. John 1:13, give us concise statement of what takes place when a person is born again. Verses 12 states that those who full trust in Christ and in his name are given the prominence, honor, preeminence, becoming God's child. This is possible only through the power of Jesus Christ committed on this verse. That only God is able, through his power of his Son, Jesus Christ, to make us his child, his Son of God. Now, let's look at the value revealed. Only those who have fully trusted Jesus Christ, those who have opened God's gift, can begin to understand what has been divinely given. John explains that these believers were born not of the blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. John 1:13. We were born into the world naturally through the flesh, and being sinful by nature, we were destined to suffer the penalty of sin. However, through the grace of God, we have been born of the Holy Spirit and have become children of God. The difference is dramatic. It can be in Christ. He is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We do not fully understand all of the wonderful things that we have received in Christ Jesus. So through Christ speak to us through his word and anoint through his spirit, we cannot fully appreciate what we have been given. The Apostle Paul spoke of looking through glass darkly, 1 Corinthians 13:12. In other words, we cannot clearly see or perceive all things, but one glorious day will change. Then I shall know and understand fully and clearly, even in the same manner as I have been fully and clearly known and understood by God, 1 Corinthians 13:12. The treasure we have received is too valuable to be hidden. The riches of God's grace are too wonderful to be concealed. We must share Jesus Christ with all people and let them know that they too can be recipients. They can be saved. Thanks be unto God for his valuable gift. 2 Corinthians 9:15. In my conclusion, child of God, if it is remarkable when someone dies for a friend, it is simply astonishing when someone gives his life for an enemy. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some will even dare to die. But God commanded his love for us in that while we were yet sinner, Christ died for us. Romans 5:7-8. Because God died, we can live. He was the ultimate to the fallen man. Jesus Christ did not come to present another, but he came to offer another kind of love. Christ himself was the personification of God's love. He was the greatest sacrifice ever made, the perfect example of God without spot or blemish. God came into the world to dwell among us. His own people saw a man, but Christ was more than a man. They heard of a rabbi, but he was more than a teacher. The crowd saw a suffering prophet, but he was more than a prophet. They despised him as one who was cursed of God, but he was our loving Savior. Oh, come on, child of God. Come on. Just shout hallelujah. I just felt a break in the spirit around. Oh, God is in this place. Lord, we just lift your name up on high to the glory of the Father which is in heaven. You are the righteous Savior and the Holy One of Israel. And we praise your blessed name. And we give you glory and we give you honor to the glory of the Father which is in heaven. Oh, God, you are the righteous Savior, the Holy One of Israel, and we praise your blessed name, God, and we lift you up, and we give you the glory and honor that's due unto your name. You're the righteous Savior. You're the Holy One of Israel, and we praise your blessed name. We praise your blessed name. We praise your blessed name, dear God, on high. We praise your blessed name. Truly, we thank and praise God for this glorious time. Oh, I just feel just the manna from on high just exuding. I feel so full in my spirit realm, in my man, in my spirit heart. It's just full with the blessings of the Lord. The benefits of God is just flowing out. I don't know bullshit. And if you can just catch it and seize it with your spirit right now, God will just lift you to another realm. I feel it right now that God is just birthing out. Oh, this is a birthday, a day that God is birthing out. This is birthday. God is just birthing it out. I hear God just speaking to that. He's birthing out that thing that he told you that he would give unto you as a child of God. God is opening doors. He's taking a way out of no way. He's blessing his people, oh, with power from on high. So I come to you, child of God. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Lift up your head. Renounce every attack. Renounce oppression, depression, perplexity, confusion. Oh, renounce it out of your mind and renounce it out of your spirit. Put on arm yourself with the strength of God. Arm yourself with power from on high and watch God do it for you. Come on and raise up in the spirit realm and allow God to do it. God is great and he's greatly to be praised. Your greatness comes from God and through God. Oh, the Bible said promotion comes not from the left, nor from the east, nor from the south, west, but east. It comes from God. Your promotion comes from the Lord. And so, child of God, you look to the hill today from which cometh your help. Your help comes from the Lord. It comes from the Lord our God. God will make a way for you to seek, encourage your heart today. As never before, hold fast to your faith. And I tell anybody, any failure is the failure to believe God. It's a failure to believe that God is. So we as children of God, we pray that you are encouraged. We pray that you are strengthened. We pray that you are able to go forward in the work and the will of the Lord. And we thank God for you as never before. And I agree that you will be blessed. And you are the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. That's what the word of the Lord said. And I bring the word to you. On this day, hold fast, child of God, the salvation for your children, the salvation for your unsaved loved one, the salvation for the nation, you're in Samaria and Jerusalem, Samaria and to the othermost place on this earth. I command you to hold fast the word of the Lord and that you will be that witness and you will speak it with love to the people of God as never before. Watch God perform it. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name, O Most High. Truly, God is great. He's great to be praised. And I'm so excited that you have joined me on today. And I want to lead in your spirit, in your heart. If you don't have it, God got it. And you are just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask of God. The Bible said, ask. And it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open unto you. Watch God do it. Watch God do it according to Matthew 7 and 7 and go on and read 8 too as well, because the blessing is there. Go back and ask again. Go back and knock again. Go back and seek again. Maybe you're seeking in the wrong place, and let God, the Bible said if you would acknowledge him first, he will direct your path. And watch God direct your path. He will direct your path. Your feet will go into the direction of the blessing. Watch God. And we give God the glory today. We give God the honor. We give God the praise to the glory of our Father, which is in heaven. God is going to do it, child of God. And you hold fast today. Don't you dare give up. Don't you dare give in. Tell the devil, go back to hell. And all of his cohorts and all of his imps. And let the enemy know that it will not work. Because nevertheless, under no circumstances, under no condition, not at all, will you back up and not do the work of the will of the Lord. Go and do it and be and stand in the power of God's might, and God will do it because you stand in the might of God. And watch God do it on your behalf. I pray that you have been blessed today. I pray that you have been encouraged and strengthened. Because truly the Lord is moving in this vein right now. He's doing a wonder right now. And I want you to claim the salvation of those that even fighting against you. Bless those that despitefully use you and speak all manner of evil against you. Lord, you have mercy upon my enemies, Lord. And watch God bless you in a mighty and a special way. So be blessed. Be encouraged. Don't look back. Watch God do it on your behalf, because he alone is worthy of the praise, glory, and honor. Watch God do it. So I'm so glad that you've been with me. Watch God do a great and a mighty work. And I want to hear the testimony of what God has done. Again, thank you for joining me here at home for another session. I pray that you were blessed, and I pray that you have been encouraged. Like I tell the saints in the home church, Bible said this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad. I tell the saints, don't get mad, but get glad, because this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad. Don't let the devil make you mad. You be glad and rejoice therein. Amen. God bless you. Being glad is a choice, and you choose to be glad and happy. Glory to God. Glory to God. Lord, I pray an impartation right now for all those that stay on and all those that dare to stay until the last moment. I pray an impartation of courage, Lord, being able to see clearly in the spirit realm and accurately. And we thank you. We give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. It's my prayer. Bye-bye.